I'm going wild, and I'm counting the days till I get there. I'm going wild, because God taught me to care. I've got a message to speak to my day and time. Wow, ambassador, I'll lay it all on the line. I'm going wow, there's no stopping me now. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If it's to be, it's up to me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If it's to be, it's up to me. Here am I, send me. Message to speak to my day and time. Wow, ambassador, I'll lay it all on the line. I'm going wow, there's no stopping me now. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If it's to be, it's up to me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If it's to be, it's up to me. Here am I, send me. Cause I'm going wild, ambassador. Here am I, send me.
Looking at the world you left behind a year ago, just how much it took, no one can really know. When you heard God's call, you knew you had to go. Nothing really mattered anymore. You've come a long way to get back home. So hold your head high. You've finally come to where you belong. Now is your time, your hour to shine. The day you've waited for so long. You're a wow ambassador and you've come home. So you sign your name to give the word that you received, and you place your heart in God's forevermore. And you took a stand to walk out on what you believe. As you did, God opened every door. Come a long way to get back home. So hold your head high. You finally come to where you belong. Now is your time, your hour to shine. The day you've waited for so long. You're a wow ambassador and you've come home. Just how proud we really are. Only God alone can thank you for your stand. You're the one he loves and you're the one he's waiting for. You're the one who lives within his plan. And you come along. Get back home.
Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this wonderful night for the joy and rejoicing in our hearts of the greatness of your divine presence and the beauty of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. On this Sunday of August the 15th, Irma Owens Sunday, there's a time for all things. But there is one thing for all time, and that's God's call to unity, one God. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Because the synthesis, the apex of God's call to love is unity. Unity is togetherness. In 1971, the first Rock of Ages was held across the Jordan. And then for many years, we were not able to hold it here. We held it at different fairgrounds, county fairgrounds throughout the area. But in 1978, we brought the eighth Rock of Ages back here to the Way International, and it has been here ever since. And that year, the eighth year of the Rock of Ages, the great subject or the great theme for that eighth Rock of Ages was the hope. And our scripture for that year was Colossians 1:27. The ninth Rock of Ages in 1979, the subject or the theme for that rock was the renewed mind, the key to power. And our scripture for that year was Romans 12:2. The reason that I chose the eighth as the hope and the ninth as the renewed mind, the key to power, because unless you have an accurate knowledge of the hope, which is the return of Christ, and you renew your mind to the great integrity of God's word relating to it, you will never manifest the key to power. Then the tenth Rock of Ages, in 1980, our subject and theme for that year was God's call to service. Romans 12:1 was the scripture. You see, with the hope and the renewed mind, the key to power, one of the things you will want to do is to serve God. The 11th Rock of Ages last year, in 81, was God's call to love. And our scripture last year was Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Because the hope requiring the renewed mind, the key to power, and your call to service, you can never serve people unless you have the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. And that brings us to this Rock of Ages, the 12th Rock of Ages here at the Way International in 1982, with our subject and our theme, God's call to unity. And this year, Ephesians 4:3 is the scripture, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the what? Bond of peace. Now let me give you a little background of all these different Rock of Ages and why God inspired me to move in this fashion and category. The eighth Rock of Ages, the hope, the number eight, people, stands for a new beginning in the Bible. The number eight always means more than a conqueror, superabounding. That's why God made eight covenants with Abraham in the Bible. The eighth day of the week. The eighth day of the week is the first day. Jesus Christ manifested himself in his resurrected body on the eighth day. It's called the first day of the week. The seventh day is the day of rest and so forth. The eighth is a new beginning. And Jesus Christ inaugurated a new beginning with the resurrection manifestation on the eighth day. There are eight unities of this union, unity that I talk about this year in God's call to unity. There are eight unities in the Word of God, and all of these are given here in Ephesians 4, in verse 4 and 5 and 6. There is one body, that's number one, one spirit, number two, called in one what? Hope, that's number three of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord is number four. One faith is number five. One baptism is number six. Now look at verse 6. One God is seven, and Father is what? Eight. Eight unities in God's call to unity to every believer. There are eight graces in the Word of God to every believer. Because eight is always a new beginning class. It is that which is superabounding. It is interesting that also in mathematics, mathematically speaking, eight is the first cube. 2 times 2 times 2 equals 8. You see, the Word of God is not haphazard. It is all by divine design. Take the number 9 now. The ninth Rock of Ages. The renewed mind, the key to power. The hope. The hope is always a new beginning. It is superabounding with the return of Christ. You know that. Now 9 stands for conclusion, the number 9. The end. 9 is the last of all the digits in mathematics. And it's uniquely interesting that the properties and the powers of the number 9 are found in no other number. For instance, the sum of the digits which form its multiples are themselves always a multiple of 9. That is electrifying mathematically. The sum, people, listen again. The sum of the digits which form its multiples are themselves always a multiple of 9, never varies. 2 times 9 equals what? 18, right? It's a multiple. Now the sum of the multiples. 1 plus 9 plus 8, 18. 2 times 9 equals what? 18. 18. 1 plus 8 equals what? You didn't know you was coming to the rock to learn a little math, did you? You're beautiful. 3 times 9 equals what? 27. 2 plus 7, 27. 2 plus 7 equals what? They're all like that. 4 times 9 equals what? 36. 3 plus 6 equals what? How many manifestations of the Spirit are there? Wonder why. How many fruit of the Spirit? Because it's the end, it's the conclusion. There is no more. That was the ninth rock of ages, and that's why I chose the renewed mind, the key to power. It's the winding up, it's the end, it's the conclusion. It is my judgment of the integrity and your judgment of the Word of God. And the Word of God is man's end, it's his conclusion. There is no other way, no other place you can go for truth and the knowledge of God and his Word than the Word, people. That's why the ninth rock of ages was the renewed mind, the key to power. Take the number 10. 10 stands for ordinal perfection. Perfection of divine and completeness of order. There is nothing wanting. You have how many commandments in the Old Testament? 10. The tithe is how much? 1/10. God allowed how many plagues on Egypt? 10. How many attendants were there to the bride in the Bible? They were called 10 virgins. 10 virgins. These served the people. 10 commandments, God's call to serve. The virgins called to serve. And when Pharaoh would not serve God, he got the results of his unbelief. And had to take the consequences. Now the number 11. The 11th rock of ages was this year and is this year. God's call to love. 11. Put your fingers up. Here's 11. Got them together? 11. 11 is one God. One God established. 11 are two ones. That's 11. Here's one, and there's the next one. That's 11. 11, people, is one God established. It starts with one plus all the other digits, 2 through 10, and then it comes back to one. One God, then it goes through all the other digits and it comes back to one. And that one, it comes back to people, is God again. In music, that we love so much in our ministry, in music, each note has a vibration in 1 second of 11, or multiples of 11. The vibrations in each note are always in 11 or multiples of 11 in music. Now, when anything else but the true practice of the one God and His Word is not in manifestation, then 11 is used to indicate disorder. Matthew chapter 20. This unique number is astounding to me. Matthew 20, people. Look at this verse 6. About the 11th hour, He went out and found others standing what? Idle. And saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? 11. They had broken the truth of the work. They should have been what? Working. They weren't working. They were standing there how? Idle. That's the usage of the number 11. When it's not the true practice of the one God. In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 13. This is the day of the ascension. And when they were come back into Jerusalem, were come in, that's back into Jerusalem, they went into a what? Upper room. Where abode both who? Peter and James, John 4, Andrew 5, Philip 6, Thomas 7, Bartholomew 8, Matthew 9, James the son of Alphaeus 10, and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of what? Putting them all together, how many do you have? 11, why? Because Judas Iscariot had what? Split. And therefore, there was not the perfection. There was disorder because Judas, one of the apostles, had forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Acts 2, in verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with what? The 11. 11 and 1 make how many? 12. Here we are back. Here we're back to a number that is unique. Peter standing up with the 11. That takes us to the number 12 again. And this is the 12th Rock of Ages, God's call to unity. The number 12, people, stands for service. It stands for rule. 12 is the number of the perfection of government. Twelve is also one of the four perfect numbers, mathematically speaking. 3, 7, and 10 are the other three perfect numbers. These all have something to do when put together with service, with rule, with government. 3 is divine order of perfection. Four is always the world number. Seven is the number for spiritual perfection. And when you take the number three, the divine, add it to the world number four, you get seven, which is divine perfection. Three plus four equals seven. And when you take the number three, the divine side, and you multiply it by the world side, four, you get 12. And the number 12, three times four, is always indicative of production, multiplication. It is always increase, people. They couldn't do with the 11 apostles. They had to select someone to take Judas Iscariot's place. They had to have 12. All the multiplication, all the increase in the Word of God is always contained in the number 12. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the 12th Rock of Ages. That's why it is God's call to unity. You will never have the perfection of service, perfection of rule, the perfection of government unless you have unity. In the Old Testament, there are 12 patriarchs. There were how many tribes of Israel? How many apostles? People, the Word of God is not haphazard. It has a divine design because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, by God, by revelation. This, our 12th Rock of Ages, God's call to unity, means that we go forth this year and we serve in unity. Think for a moment of the letters of the word unity. U-N-I-T, what? The U stands for unity. The N stands for needs. The I stands for individuals. The T stands for that's, and the Y stands for you. Unity needs individuals, that's you. That's unity. You see, God's call to love and His call to unity needs every believing individual, and every believing individual includes you. Now, the Greek text utilizes the Greek word for unity that is spelled, if you're interested in it, H-E-N-O-T-E-E-S, henotes, H-E-N-O-T-E-E-S. And it's only used twice in the Greek. Other words are used, but for unity, this word is only used twice. But the implication of the word unity, even in the Greek, throughout the scriptures are vast. For instance, if we are of one mind, we're going to be in what? Union. We'll have unity among us. But in the Aramaic scriptures, The word for unity is the Aramaic word spelled A-W-Y-O-T-H. Awot. And A-W-Y-O-T-H class means harmony. Harmony. The word for unity means harmony. Harmony to the end of turning towards someone or something with an innermost, deep, absolute affection. It is the word that means symphony. The English word symphony means to harmonize. A great symphony orchestra does what? Harmonizes. And by the way, whenever notes do not run musically with the 11, it will always be noise, not music. No one can be in harmony with himself or with life who does not symphonize with the one true God. If he is not in union with the one true God, people, his life will never harmonize. His life will never gel. It will not symphonize. Don't you understand? His life will not make pretty music. It'll be noise. Likewise with God's word. The number 12 and the way unity is used in the word. It symphonizes with God's word. A man's life is in harmony with his word. And when the mind of a man or a woman is in harmony with the Spirit of God that is Christ in him, the hope of glory, when that man is in harmony with that Spirit of God, that makes the man and that Spirit one. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the word unity in the word. Wonderful. In the Aramaic scriptures, this word for unity is used 5 times. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is the first one I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my what? What agreement? The word agreement is this word unity. You cannot have unity when you have more than one God. Anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is God can never have unity because there is only one God. That's why, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? An idol is opposite of the true God. And any man or woman who believes that Jesus Christ is God is worshiping idols, living in idolatry. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:6-16 uses this word harmony, agreement. Okay? 2 Corinthians 13:11 is the second one. Someday people got to believe the word again. set all their religion in junk. Got to come back to the Word. 2 Corinthians 13:11. King James reads, "Finally, brethren, farewell." That means bye-bye or something. "Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." The literal translation, according to usage, of 2 Corinthians 13:11 from the Aramaic is, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice." Rejoice. Doesn't say farewell, it says get happy. Rejoice. "And be perfected and be comforted. And may harmony," harmony, unity, harmony, "and quietness be among you. And the God of peace," God of love and peace, "will be with you." Ephesians 4:3 we read earlier. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of" what? "Spirit in the bond of" what? "Peace." Look at Philippians. That's its fourth usage in the Word. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 4:3 rather. Ephesians, Philippians 3:16. "Nevertheless," King James, "whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." The Aramaic reads, "Nevertheless, that we may attain to this, let us proceed on one path and with one agreement." One mind, one harmony, one symphony. And the final one is in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Boy, isn't this Word of God wonderful? 1 Peter 3. Look at verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be kind-hearted," pitiful is kind-hearted, "be courteous." Here it's the word "one mind." It is to agree. It is to harmonize. It is to symphonize. That's the usage of the word unity. It means togetherness. We are born of God's Spirit with God in Christ in us. Now we stand together. We witness together. We work together. We love each other as a body of believers, the temple of the living God. In Ephesians 4:3, that beautiful scripture for this occasion, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit." We're instructed to endeavor to keep the unity. We are not to make a unity. We're instructed to do what? Keep it. Not make it, keep it, baby. Try. You don't make the unity. You're instructed to do what? Keep it. That's right. The making of that unity was by God in Christ Jesus when He gave us the new birth, His Spirit. All that so-called religion our modern so-called Christianity has endeavored to do is to develop organic union, where this one little denominational group gets together with another one. The Word of God doesn't say we are to make a union. It says we're to endeavor to keep it. You don't make it, you keep it. That's right. I was born and raised in the old German Reformed Church. They decided to have an organic union with the evangelicals of the United States, and so we got to be what was called the Evangelical and Reformed Church. Then they decided later on they wanted to have another organic union with the Congregational Christian Churches of the United States. And so they merged with them, and we became called the United Church of Christ. There is nothing united about the church of an organic union. Hundreds and hundreds of individual churches withdrew when this organic union was attempted and solidified. You see, people, God never expected us to develop an organic union. We're to keep it. We're to keep it. You read it. I didn't write the Bible for you. Endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit. You keep the unity. You don't develop it. You keep it, baby. You keep it. You keep it. That's why we got room for everybody in the Way Ministry. All they have to do is get born again of God's Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and start living the principles. They're all welcome. You know, that's how you Jews got in, and you Roman Catholics, and you Methodists. That's how all of us got in. Not wonderful? The most diversified body in the world being the most united in the whole world. It's a paradox. Nobody understands but us believers. We just endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We don't go around tell our people you got to wear earrings on Monday, or take them out on Sunday night, or you got to comb your hair a certain way, or you have to wear a tux to teach. We don't tell our people that. We just tell them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And if you do that, you'll always do that which is pleasing to God and loving to your brother and sister who loves the one true God like you do. That's right. The rest of them can just use a hot poker on themselves, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. They can get burned from some other end. Union is dependent upon union. It's dependent upon identification with those who have the Spirit. It's dependent upon togetherness class. Religiously speaking, I know so-called Christians who are miles apart. Some don't even talk to each other. They won't even shake hands with each other. Like somebody said to me recently, he said, I wouldn't shake hands with you. I said, well, I'd shake hands with you. He said he was a Christian. I'd shake hands with him. I shook hands with a lot of people weren't even Christian. So I have no objection shaking the hand of a Christian. But he was sort of all wet on baptism, and therefore, you know, he had a problem with me because he's got a problem with the Word. Someone said the other week, I'm not neighborly. I'm neighborly. They just don't want to be neighborly with me. I haven't got the problem. It's their problem, not mine. Oh, bless their hearts. That's right. See, in order to have unity, you've got to be identified. And I so identify with you that when you hurt, I hurt. When you cry, I cry. When you go on the field, I go with you. When you come to the rock, I'm here with you. I get so identified with you, I can't explain it. And the reason I do, I believe, is because I know I'm identified with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, the Word says, I died with Him. When He arose, I arose with Him. When He ascended, I ascended with Him, honey. I am identified with Christ because He is my Lord and He is my Savior. And because He is my Lord and my Savior, He's your Lord and Savior. Therefore, I'm identified with you. That's right. Boy, people, we stand with each other because we all stand for God. You see, if you and I were all perfect, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. Our perfection is spiritual. Our becoming more perfectly aligned with harmony, in harmony with God, is a day by day growing in the Word. You went wow to share the Word so somebody else could begin to grow and get blessed like you were. So it's the unity of the Spirit that we have to endeavor to keep. That word endeavoring in verse 3 is the same word as 2 Timothy 2:15 where it says study. Same word. Endeavoring means to study. You study. How can I keep the unity of the Spirit with my brother and with my sister? How can I speak to you to keep the unity? How can I speak to you so we can keep the unity? You can turn people off as a believer if you don't study, if you do not endeavor to understand and work with them. This word endeavoring, spoudazo, the Greek word, means you do your utmost, people. You work at it. You put forth the great zeal of your life. That's the meaning of this word. Endeavoring. The word to keep is the word tero, T-E-E-R-O, which means to be diligent, to stay at it, people. You have to work at building the unity. Like you have to work in building a continued husband and wife relationship. If there's going to be the unity between the husband and wife, you just can't send her candy and roses before you get married. You better be sweet on her after you get married. And let her be the flower of your life or something. Matthew 28, verse 20, uses the phrase, teaching them to what? Observe all things. I think that's there, isn't it? Whatsoever I've commanded you. Matthew 28, 20, right? Teaching them to what? Observe. The word teaching is the word keep. Same word, tero. That means be diligent. Stay at work. And they translated it teaching. Because to keep the unity of the Spirit class, there has to be teaching. You will never have the unity of the Spirit without teaching. And as WOWs, that's what you were sharing, the unity of the Spirit, by teaching people what God had wrought in your heart life and what the Word indicates. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, listen to this. These words are just terrific. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the very God of peace, verse 23, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Preserved. The word preserved here is this word, tero, meaning be diligent to keep, stay at work, working the unity. Be preserved blameless unto the coming. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 4. To an inheritance, incorruptible and what? Undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven, what? The word reserved is this word keep. Same word. We are to endeavor to keep the unity, the oneness. At the same time, at the same place, all at once together with each other. And the word bond in Ephesians 4:3, in the bond of peace, bond is the word meaning that which binds together, the cohesiveness of Colossians 2:19. It is the body, the joints, and the bands. It is the bond of perfectness of Colossians 3:14. That which binds together. We are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in that which binds together. You'll never keep the unity of the Spirit by bringing up that which separates. But you have to bring up that which binds together. And the word peace in this final scripture for this tremendous Rock of Ages is the Greek word Irene, I-R-E-E-N-E. And this Greek word is transliterated into a lady's name called Irene. The word Irene means to join. Join to the right source. And if you're joined to the right source, to God, you will have Irene peace. Because God is peace. His Son, Jesus Christ, is peace. No man will ever have peace without the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our what? Peace. In chapter 4, where we are working verse 3, look at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, you've been called as believers. You're born again. You have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace because you're a believer. But you walk with all lowliness, verse 2, and meekness. With what? Long suffering. And you forbear one another in what? Love. That's why last year, it had to be the call to love. But this year, it has to be the call to unity. Forbearing one another in love precedes the endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Without love, there will be no unity. And that's why verse 4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your what? Calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is above all and through all and in you what all. For unto every one of us, verse 7, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us, born again of God's Spirit, is given the grace that you and I can endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We can do it if we want to, and we ought to want to do it. That's why, people, you and I believe God's Word together. And therefore, because we believe God's Word as the will of God together, you and I stand together. We walk together. We run together. And someday we'll be received up with Him together. God bless. Thank you.
This could be the beginning,
right.
Something great for you. This could be the beginning of a life full shiny and new. Walking out of the darkness to the marvelous light. This could be the beginning of the best of your life. So you say you've traveled down a long, lonesome highway, looking for love and happiness that would not go away. But you've never found what you've been looking for. Baby, you are standing in front of an open door. Now is there a purpose, a reason and a rhyme? Or are we just specks of sand in the glass of time? Ah, you know there's answers for your worries, your doubts, your fears. This could be the start, making that all clear. And this could be the beginning of something great for you. This could be the beginning of a life full shiny and new. Walking out of the darkness into the marvelous light. This could be the beginning of the best of your life. So sit back and give a listen to what God's Word has to say. Open up your ears and let it soak in. This is your day. You're gonna find treasures for your hopes, your dreams, your plans. This could be the start of a truly satisfied man. And this could be the beginning of something great for you. This could be the beginning of a life full shiny and new. Walking out of the darkness into the marvelous light. I said this could be the beginning of the best of your life. Oh yes, it's just a start for ya. I said this could be the beginning, baby, of something great for you. I said this could be the beginning of a life, oh shiny and new. Come on now and walk on. Walk on out of that darkness, everybody. Headed to the marvelous light. I said this could be the beginning of the best of your life. beginning.